Good morning, everyone. This morning I'll be reading to you from James 5, verses 13 to 20 from the New Living Translation, if you'd like to follow along. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Thank you.
Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Today we'll be finishing up our series of studying the book of James. And today we're going to be looking at the subject of prayer. And I'm excited because God has given me about 7 to 8 hours worth of material on prayer. Not that we're going to cover all that this morning, but he has laid on my heart certain things that he wants us to be mindful of today. And so this is going to be very awesome to hear what he wants to say to us this morning. Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, for this powerful reminder, Lord, of what you did on a wooden cross so long ago. That, Lord, that you were expressing your deep, deep, abiding love for us. And that you want us to receive that gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you went to the trouble to purchase our salvation. And that you're inviting us into a relationship with you. Lord, as I speak this morning, I pray that everyone here would hear you and not me. That, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. We would have hearts to obey, to act on what you're saying to us. And, Lord, we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. Now, the question this morning is, what will bring about the things that were mentioned regarding prayer in those verses in James 5, 13 to 20 that Thomas read? Bring those things into our congregation, into our lives, and the lives of others around us. Think, what things from that verse are we looking at in particular when I say that? Prayer, making the sick person well. Praying for each other that you may be healed. Prayer that is powerful and effective. Prayer like Elijah prayed and rain stops for a season and a season and a season for 3 years. Prayer where rain comes again. Those are the things that I am talking about. How will those things come about? It comes about when we utilize prayer in the context of a relationship with the Almighty. First thing I want to do, though, is I want to look at some misconceptions that will hinder us. Sometimes people treat God like a pop machine. Put in the right words, press amen, and we're supposed to get what we want. When we get what we want, God's good, and he answers prayer. But when we don't get what we want, he's not good, and he doesn't answer prayer. Another misconception. Oh, it's only certain special people like Elijah or the pastor that he answers prayer for. The rest of us? Meh, not so much. Those are things that are false ideas. And we're going to be looking at truth from the Word. Truth is that prayer is a part of a relationship. That Jesus purchased on the cross, a relationship with him that Adam and Eve lost. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, "We have redemption by his blood, and we Gentiles who were far off were brought near by the blood of Jesus." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, "Through Christ we all can have access to the Father." We've had access to the Father purchased for us. How many of us here have access to the Prime Minister 24/7? Anybody? But do you know through the blood of Jesus we have access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, 24/7, forever and ever? Isn't that exciting? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, "We have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Jesus." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "We can boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Hebrews 9, 7 says that in the Old Testament, only the high priest could come into the presence of God. But do you know anybody who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can have access anytime and can come in boldly, not timidly, boldly, because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for us? We get to meet with him. That is exciting. If you haven't begun that relationship with Jesus, I would invite you to believe that he died on the cross for you, that he paid the price for your sins, and that he rose again for you. I invite you to invite him to be your Lord and Savior. It's a wonderful relationship. Amen? So, prayer is a part of a relationship, and it is a privilege. And as such, there is give and take, talking and listening, sharing. It's meant to be two-way. It's meant to be a conversation. When you have a relationship with somebody else, like a spouse or a friend, imagine if you carried on that relationship like some people carry on their prayer lives with God. They do all the talking, you do all the talking, and then you walk away. You then ignore them for long periods of time, and then only come back when you got to ask for stuff and you never say thank you. How well would that relationship go? Husbands, try that with your wife for a week. See how that would go. We'd be praying for a lot of husbands. You get the point. Our relationship, our prayer life with God is meant to be two-way. It's meant to be interactive. God loves it when we talk with him, but also he wants to talk to us. And so, we need to remember, prayer is meant to be two-way, talking and listening. So take time to listen for what God may want to say to you. He could bring a verse or a Christian song to mind. He could plant certain thoughts in your mind. Oh, try applying for this job. Or phone this person at this time. They need encouragement. Or he might put an impression on your heart. This is what you need to do to reach that son or daughter who's far away. Or he might give you an impression that everything is going to be all right because he is in the midst of that problem that you're worrying about. How many ears do we have? Nobody knows? Oh, good. Phew. Thought we had to do some instruction here for a second. Two. We have two. How many mouths? Think we ought to listen more? Jesus wants to be heard. A top priority of prayer should be to develop an intimate relationship with the Almighty. And intimacy comes with frequency of two-way interaction, listening as well as talking. As a part of praying in this relationship, we need to know who it is that we are relating to. Our view of this affects our prayer lives. In the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, love this little clicker thingy. In the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9a, there are two aspects of God to consider so we know who it is that we're interacting with. The first part is our Father. If we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He is our Father, Abba, which means Daddy. How will that affect your relating to Him if He's your daddy? It's a totally different thing when you approach Him. You know that you are approaching this loving Father who sent His Son to die on the cross for you. So we don't need to be afraid. We can come boldly. Amen? Second aspect, in heaven. He is our dad. But He's still the living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Righteous One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that should also affect the way that we talk with Him, even if He's our Heavenly Dad. We need to awesomely respect Him. This also means that He is far superior to us, and He knows best. He is all-knowing and all-wise and will answer yes to only what is good and what will advance His kingdom purposes. If He says no, it's because it's best for us. What good father would give his child everything that they want? Think of how that kid would turn out. God does not want us to be spoiled. He loves us too much, and He will only give us what is best. So we need to trust Him. He is in heaven. He is almighty. He is all wise. And in order to know who we're relating to, we need to read the Word more to know who we are praying to so we can know Him more and more. And this will affect how we pray to Him and how we listen. It will also help us to recognize when it is that He is speaking to us. Because anything that God says to us will never contradict His Word. And we can always use His Word as a filter to know whether it's Him or not. So as you read the Bible, ask God to help you to know Him through His Word. As a part of praying in this relationship, we also need to realize that we need to pray the Father's will so that His will be done on earth. That His kingdom will come. Prayer is there for His agenda to be accomplished, not yours and not mine. How do we know how to pray what is according to God's word, according to His will, His word? The more time we spend in the Bible, the more we become acquainted with what requests are in line with what He wants. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, if you pray His will, He hears you. And if He hears you, you have what you ask for. Not that you might have. You will have. Guarantee. This is a guarantee that our prayers will be answered, and not just Elijah's, and not just the pastor's, not just Billy Graham's, ours. Become acquainted with His word so you know what can have guaranteed answers. There are even prayers in Scripture that we can pray. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9b, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. I could pray that for somebody. I could say, Father, I ask you to fill Steve or Anthony or Nack with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And then I'm guaranteed that that prayer will be answered. And I know that God will do those beautiful things in those people's lives. And what an expression of love from me to that person by praying those things for them. Isn't that awesome? That can be an expression of your love for other people, praying his will for their lives. You can also see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 as well, for scriptures are prayers that are right in Scripture. Praying based on Scripture or directly from Scripture is praying for his will, his agenda to be accomplished. And it is powerful and effective praying. I've seen that happen in so many different situations. I've seen it where I've prayed for my parents for a long time, and I've seen them come to a saving knowledge in Christ. I've seen it where I've prayed things like healing for people and seeing God answer. God honors his word. As a part of praying in this relationship, we also need to let him guide our praying. We need to listen for his direction as to what to pray for. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that those that are led by the Spirit are sons and daughters of God. We need to be open to what God would have us pray for, who he would have us pray for, what he would have us pray for, and open to what he would have us pray regarding those people or those situations. Then our prayers will be powerful and effective. I remember one time I was on a trip to another country, and some people from this church had taken me to this lady to pray for healing for her. She was facing 3 weeks of radiation therapy, and I went to her house with one of the elders from the church. And as I sat down to pray with her, God put on my heart that I needed to start praying, not for the healing first. He said, you need to pray that she will know my mercy, my grace, my love, my compassion. Do you know, as I prayed that and I looked up, there were tears pouring down her face. Jesus knew at that moment she needed those things. Because think if you were facing 3 weeks of radiation therapy. You might be a little scared. You might be a little terrified. All sorts of things. And Jesus is saying, I know that. And I'm having this person pray the things that you need to meet that. I could have totally missed the boat if I'd just gone ahead and assumed, well, we're here to pray for healing. Let's just get at her. No. We need to let the Father guide us. And then all the needs will be met. Amen? Oh, yeah, and at the end, God said, yeah, pray for healing. Do you know the next trip I went back, she had a clean bill of health. Jesus took care of the whole package. Isn't God good? There was another time where I was in this other country as well. And there was an elder who came up to talk to me, and God laid on my heart that you need to pray for this man. And he hadn't asked for a prayer, but I felt very impressed that I needed to. And when I asked him if I could pray for him, he said, sure, yeah. I started to pray for him, and then all of a sudden God put this thought in my mind that I needed to pray about a new job for him. Now, he had said nothing about a new job, not a zip zero. And so I just silently in my mind, I said, Lord, is this really you? And I had this peace that came through. Okay, you need to step out of the boat when Jesus gives you direction. Well, I started to pray about this new job for this man. And afterward, he said, by the way, I'm thinking of leaving my good-paying job and going into full-time ministry. Isn't God awesome? The one we're praying to, remember, is almighty, and someone said, all-knowing. He knew that that man was leaving that job to go into full-time ministry. So I just need to listen to the Father and obey when he says, pray for a new job. Pray for this issue, this issue. One other example. I was at a camp on the mainland, and there was this girl who had come up to me, and she had injured her ankle. And everybody at this camp knew that I was there to pray, to minister in that way. And she came up, and she wanted prayer for her ankle. And again, before I started to pray for healing, God put something else on my mind. He let me know that she had had a wounded heart and that I needed to pray about that. Because remember, God is interested in the whole package, right? Not just what we think we need. And so I prayed about that heart. And she was moved powerfully as well. And yeah, we got to the healing. Pray for healing too. Lord, let me know. And within, I'd say about 15 seconds after I finished praying for her, she said, Tim, the pain's gone. I bet you the pain in her heart was dealt with too. Amen? So we need to let him guide our praying. As a part of praying in this relationship, we need to surrender to his lordship. This is vital to our relationship with him and in turn to our prayer life. We must have a heart attitude that says, Lord, my life is not my own. It is yours utterly and completely to do with as you wish. There's a missionary named Heidi Baker who served in Mozambique for a number of years. And God has done powerful, powerful things through her. And her prayer is, Holy Spirit, pick me up like a paintbrush. And paint a picture. And she says it's all about him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus said to the Father, not as I will, but as you will. At every turn, we need to have a heart that says, not my will, but yours be done. If we have this attitude, then we will have a powerful and effective prayer life. There was a man who was like this. His name was George Mueller. And back in the day, he looked after thousands of orphans. He had about ended up with about four different buildings to look after all these orphans. And everything was run on prayer alone. This man said that he had no will of his own. And guess how many prayers he had answered? Over 50,000 prayers. A surrendered life will have many, many prayers answered. There's one prayer that he prayed in this one situation. He and the orphans were down in the dining hall for breakfast. The only problem was, is there was no food. His prayer was simply, Father, thank you for the food we are about to eat. There was a knock at the door. The baker was there. He said, I was awake all night, and the Lord let me know that you might need bread. Here's your bread. A little while later, the milkman was at the door. He just happened to break down in front of the orphanage, and he needed to give away his milk. Could you use some milk? Over 50,000 prayers answered. Amen. God is good. Any of us who desire to live a surrendered life can have thousands and thousands and thousands of prayers answered. We can have Elijah-like prayers answered. God will use anybody as long as they're surrendered. As a part of praying in this relationship, we need to give thanks. When we're engaged in human relationships, we need to be thankful for the people we have a relationship with, our friends, our spouses, our parents, and be thankful for what they mean to us. Well, we can thank God that He's in our lives, that we know Him, and that He's our Father, and that He's our refuge, and everything else He is to us. This builds our relationship with Him. When someone does something for us, saying thank you is a proper thing to do. It helps build relationship too. Thanking God for the things He has done or is doing helps to bless our relationship with Him. And it helps us to be more aware of how many good things He is doing. On a personal note, the principles I've mentioned, praying in the context of a relationship with God, are things that God has taught me out of His Word and has had me put into practice over many years. And as a result of what He has taught me, I've grown very close to Him. And I've experienced Him leading me in incredible ways in praying for others. And I've seen Him doing amazing things. And it's the best seat in the house. When you pray and you see God doing what He wanted to do when He had you pray that thing, it is the most exciting thing in the world. There's no adventure like it. Nothing the world offers comes even close. And one of the ministries that He's led me to do is be a part of praying for people after our services. I get to see Him do awesome things there. I get so excited when I see His Spirit doing things, amazing things in the lives of the people who come up after I simply prayed what God told me to pray. It's all His work. And it's wonderful to see Him do incredible things in people's lives. To me, this is a vital ministry because all of us need Jesus to touch our lives. Amen. I've also experienced the powerful effect of other people's prayers for me. I remember one time, I was at Steve and Debbie's place, and we had noticed that one of my legs was shorter than the other. And obviously that would affect a lot of things in my body. And they were led by the Lord to pray for that leg that was shorter. And it was the coolest thing. As they walked in obedience, they followed God's guidance. Guess what? The leg grew out instantly and matched the other. I've experienced it. God is no respecter of persons. He will use anyone, anytime, anywhere who surrender to His will and follow His leading. It is exciting. And I want to be a part of other people experiencing those kind of things. Every one of us can be used powerfully by God in prayer. Every one of us. To see others touched for His kingdom and for His glory. If we think of prayer being in the context of a relationship with the Almighty, and if we operate in the principles that have been mentioned, we will get to see the things mentioned in James, the powerful and effective praying, the Elijah-like results, people being healed. We'll see those things coming into our congregation, into our lives, and into the lives of those around us. Who's up for the challenge? God wants to have a beautiful relationship with you and me. He wants to be intimate with you and me. Will you pray to become intimate with Him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you purchased a relationship for us on the cross. Thank you that you desire to be intimate with us. Thank you that you've given us the privilege of having conversation with you. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak and we can hear you. You declare that in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you will direct us, you will guide us. Lord, help us to surrender to you, Lord, and to live out these principles so that, Lord, that we can be close to you and that, Lord, that you can use us in this powerful work for your kingdom of praying and seeing others affected for your glory and for your purposes. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said. Michelle and your team, could you come up?